Last weekend, Deacon Allen preached at the masses that I was offering, and he had shared how in his time of preparation, in his prayer, he received one particular word that kept coming to him again and again and again, and that word was power. Last week, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord, and not only do we reflect upon the power of the Lord at that time, but also how power is evident to the very sacrament of baptism. He shared a very personal story about his fourth child. Upon coming into the world, you know, it seemed that things were okay, at least that's what the doctor said. But then soon after bringing her home, she had undergone a major seizure. It was turning blue, and her eyes rolled in the back of her head, and she stopped breathing. So immediately, he and his wife brought their daughter over to the hospital, which was about 5 minutes away. And upon entering the hospital, who do they see but their parish priest? And they said, "Father, she needs to be baptized. She needs to be baptized right now." And so the priest had his oils with him and baptized the child, and they entrusted their daughter to the hospital. The next day, the hospital informed them, "Take your child. There's nothing wrong with her." And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not only present in our baptism, it's present in the Holy Spirit. And you see, the advocate that Jesus promised to us is the power of His grace. And that is something that you and I have. You know, when we're given the power of the Holy Spirit, that is meant for the building up of the mystical body of Christ. And that when we hear such testimonies of His power, we don't think that, oh, God does this on a blue moon, on a rare occasion, just to kind of throw us a bone and say, "I'm still here, guys. Oh, okay, there you are, God. God's at work, right? God's doing a little something here. He's giving us something." And the reality is that our life of faith is supposed to walk in this power, to walk in that confidence. It's taking up the invitation of Jesus Christ, who said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 12, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Thank you. I won't tell you what other mass I was at. I asked the question I got. I'm actually looking for something, right? Give me something, at least a nod or a thumbs up, right? Yes, we believe in Jesus Christ. So if we believe in Jesus Christ, then what does He say? That we will be able to do the works of these, not only that, far greater works. And what are these works? Matthew 10:8. In Scripture it says, "Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons." And we know that Jesus did all these things. We hear it recorded in Scripture. But these are the words given by Jesus to His disciples. You know, who tells them, no, you go and do it. You go and operate in faith. I want to see you do these things because I know you can. I have imparted that to you. And perhaps when we hear this, you know, we may think, oh, that was serving as part of recalling the gospel, recalling the time in which Jesus walked on earth, and, oh, that's what the apostles did, or maybe that's something only for the early church, or perhaps that's only, you know, before the advancement of medicine and hospitals and all that good stuff. But is that really the case? During the Encounter Conference in Grand Rapids a few weeks ago, one of the presenters, Patrick Rice, had spoken of a number of saints who walked in the supernatural, and he argued that this walking in the supernatural is the norm of the Christian life. One saint was Saint Vincent Ferrer, who lived in the 14th, 15th century, very far from the early days of the church. And Saint Vincent Ferrer spoke in the holy name of Jesus, and as he did so, people were cured, people were healed. Now, in someone who has that particular charism and did that, you know, one might think, well, are we just simply supposed to rely on that and just say, well, that's our faith? St. Vincent de Ferrer actually took up herbal remedies, medicine. You know, so he did things that he knew that were necessary and essential, but still professed and believed in miracles and healings in the name of Jesus, and so witnessed to that many, many times. And this healing, you know, is something that is very mysterious, as with all the gifts and the charisms of the Holy Spirit. You know, obviously all things, huh, are in accordance with the Father's will. But sometimes, too, there might be something within us that hampers that healing from taking place. Sometimes there's something within us that messes that up, whether we're aware of it or not. That could be unforgiveness. That could be attachment to the occult, New Age things, crystals, Reiki, yoga. That's having unconfessed mortal sins. You know, and having these things, they block us from receiving the grace that God wants us to receive. You know, when the Lord and the church confirms the fact that we need to separate ourselves away from these things, it's because if we choose those things over God, then it's saying, God, you know, what I want is for you to listen to me when I need you. And then we put God in a box. We put him in a corner. We put him in a place where, okay, you're there, so I know you're there when I need you, and then come out when that's the case. And that's the wrong way to live the Christian life. And that's why we're running into difficulty in living the Christian life. That's why it gets so difficult for us to walk in the miraculous with Jesus Christ, because we are so bent on saying, be where it's comfortable for me. And when Jesus Christ walked the earth and interacted with his apostles, did he always do things that were comfortable for the apostles? You know? Peter, I want you to walk along the side of the beach because I don't want you to drown or anything. Walk on water! I want you to walk on water. I want you to do something that I just did, and I know you can do it too. But you have to keep your eyes on me. And that's sometimes where we lose our focus. You know, we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't give everything to Christ. You know, we have our little space or spaces that we want for ourselves and say, well, God, forgive this, huh? This is mine. But I love you. And God's like, you know, you think I'm an idiot? You know, you think I'm going to go like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll bless that. I want all of you. And he wants all of us because that's how he knows that he can freely work through us. And when we have these other things in which we have placed before God and say, well, I will trust in this more than God, and that's when we run to a great amount of difficulty. You know, I've seen some people healed and others, you know, they have some things back, but others retain their healing. And so it's due to a number of reasons. I won't get into it now, but what we don't want to happen is that, you know, if it's something that seems not to stick, in a sense, then to pray with that with the Lord and to not give up, to keep asking, seeking, knocking. Something else might need to be addressed. And healing is just one thing, right, that the second reading today from St. Paul to the Corinthians talks about. You know, he gives us a list of things. And it's not exhaustive. There's a couple things, couple lists all throughout Scripture by St. Paul. He talks about today wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirits, varieties of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And we have to realize that these are the words, as I mentioned before, of St. Paul. That means these are the words that are found in Scripture. They're in the Bible. This is not some kind of external resource. This is not something that is found that we're unsure if it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. So then it behooves us to think, okay, well, what does that mean? And you see, sometimes when you look at Holy Scripture and we don't get what it says, what do we do? We gloss over it. Or we think, well, it's just back then. Or, you know, I don't understand it, so let me go to something I do understand. Love one another as I love you. Oh, okay, all right. I'll focus on that one. I can focus on that one. Tongues, variety of tongues, healing, mighty wool. I don't know what to make of that, so I'm just going to gloss over that. And we do a great disservice to the gift that God is trying to instill within us, that God is trying to do within us. You know, and oftentimes, you know, people are asking, you know, our Catholic faith, right, it's losing people, right? People are losing the faith. They're not coming to church. You know, and there's such a concern about it and so many things about what can we do. And I think we need to go back to how it was at the beginning. You know, Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, he not only told people about the good news, he also performed healings, miracles, mighty deeds. You know, and when he did so, it was something that helped the people in a great way. It was never something that was just enough. Let me top you off to where you need to be. It was overabundance. Overabundant in grace. You know, today's gospel, what was it? Wedding at Cana. And what happened? There was no wine. And so, Jesus gave them instruction. They followed Jesus. They didn't say, well, okay, we hear you, but that sounds like it's not going to work. So, we're going to crush some red beetles and pretend like that's wine, right? You know, they said, okay, we'll just fill these water jars and hope for the best. They did what they heard the word of the Lord say to them. And then wine was produced. And yet not any ordinary wine, but extraordinary wine. Wine that was far great, far more enjoyable, and something in which all the people delighted. And so that's exactly when we know that the Lord is at work and the Lord is, you know, utilizing us, you know, with the power that he has entrusted to us. And sometimes, you know, when we think about these gifts, you know, one thing that might draw us away from exploring these gifts is because maybe someone had the gift or think they had the gift and tried to use it and then we had a bad experience of it. You know, we're turned off at it. You know, and the thing that we forget is that we are still human. Sometimes we think that, you know, perhaps when people operate in these gifts, you know, all of a sudden their brain just shuts off, and then, you know, they come up and like, oh, I'll heal you, you know, or like, I'll perform a miracle, you know, like God takes over their body, like, you know, using them like a little marionette, right, a little puppet. It's like, okay, go over here, okay, there you go, okay, now you're released. What happened? Oh, you performed a miracle. Oh, wow, really? I don't know. I lost my mind, you know, and the reality is that's not the case. You know, he needs us to be attentive to his voice, to be desirous of his voice. You know, these gifts, these charisms, right? The Holy Spirit gives however he wishes. And, you know, they're not always something that's flashy, but there are certainly things that are definitely most in need. So, okay, so I spoke about healing, especially with St. Vincent Ferrer. What about faith? Mother Angelica. Does anyone remember the story with Mother Angelica and the dish, the satellite dish? So she ordered the satellite dish, you know, after she had EW10 all built up. The guy, delivery man, brought in the dish and was saying, okay, you know, now can I have the check, you know, cash on delivery? And it came to the tune of $2 million. Mother Angelica didn't have $2 million. But she felt that the Lord really wanted this to happen. And so she acted on faith because she felt that she heard the word of the Lord and that and she discerned that properly, which is very important. We just don't make things up. It's always important that we hear God. We listen for God. So, but she heard that, and then this guy came, delivered the satellite, where's my money? And she goes, well, let me show you around the facility. Let me show you around the beautiful things that we have going on here. I was like, okay. So she shows him the recording studio and other things there. And all the while, just, sister, I gotta go. Where's my check? And so finally, she saw that she couldn't stall him any longer. And, you know, she went, okay, well, I'll be back. Just a minute. And she went off and went to pray. She knelt down, huh? Said, Lord, I believe this was from you. And I thought I heard you correctly. And we don't have the money. I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. And then another sister comes at that moment running to her. Mother, mother, there's a guy on the phone that wants to make a donation. She says, okay, thank you. So she goes, gets up, she goes and gets the call. And the guy says he wants to donate some money. And he wants to donate a couple $1 million. And it was for the exact amount that they needed for the satellite dish. Thank you. So she had the extraordinary charism of faith. You know, and then so how about knowledge? You know, that's another thing that St. Paul talks about. You know, to that I think of St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, to those who are familiar with his works, you know, they are very plentiful. You know, he writes very extensively on various aspects of the faith. And, you know, it's interesting, it was after all of what he had written, which is very beautiful and very deep, you know, he looks at that after all his work. And at some point, even doesn't even finish it. You know, some of his students and disciples go and finish the rest for him. Because he said, you know, all of this is garbage. Comparison to God, you know, all this is garbage. And, you know, the Lord, you know, spoke to him and said, you know, for your good work, for what you have done for me, and letting people know about this in all your works, what would you like? You know, you can ask for anything and I'll grant it to you. And St. Thomas Aquinas says, nothing but you, O Lord. Nothing but you. And that's where we have to get to the point where we recognize with every fiber of our being, not with just a repetition of with our mouths, with every fiber of our being, nothing but you, Lord. You are all that I desire. You are all that I want, because you are all that is good. And I know that you have nothing but good for me. And so, you know, in order for us to truly operate more and more in the Holy Spirit, that must be our attitude, that must be our aim, that must be our goal, where our hearts are more and more in conformity with the Lord's. We recognize who God is and who I am, and the way in which he has entrusted to us the Holy Spirit. Now, one way that these gifts of the Holy Spirit can be imparted to us, here's a novel idea, is to ask for it. I mean, how many of us, when we see the gifts of the Holy Spirit outlined and all the radical things that they are, ever asked for them? And who asked for gifts of healing? Who asked for gifts of wisdom? Who asked for, you know, gifts of tongues? You know, all these things. You know, these are the things that the Lord is desirous to give us. But the first thing is to just ask for them. You know, we know that God is omniscient. He knows things. He can't unknow things, because that's not who God is. But at the same token, he loves to hear from his children. He loves to hear from his dear ones. He loves to hear from our heart, you know, what it is that we know that he can do for us. And that's also an exercise of faith, you know, when we profess that to him, when we allow him to be who he is and say, God, you know, I ask for these things. And when we ask, you know, we don't do it in a half-hearted way, such as, God, you know, I know that, you know, Father Phil said, you know, maybe we should ask for these gifts, so can I just have maybe one, maybe faith? But, you know, if not, that's okay. You know, I adore you anyways. How are you? You know, right? We're treated as this awkward thing, like I don't even know if I can, like, ask this. Like, I thought I'm supposed to, like, have it. But it's a good thing to ask, you know. St. Paul even addressed that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31. He says, now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. And this is before he says that, you know, but I will show you a more excellent way, right? When he gets to 1 Corinthians 13. And what's the most excellent way? Love, right? Where love is kind, love is patient, you know. Love doesn't brood over things. Love rejoices in the truth. And sometimes when we have that reading, that passage there from St. Paul in Corinthians, we tend to focus on that part. Because he did say, well, I will show you a more excellent way. And we think, oh, well, I can do that. You know, I can try to be patient. I can try to be kind. I can try to be those things. But that sounds like stuff I can do. And then we totally nix the part where he says, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. Have we been striving for the greatest spiritual gifts? You see, sometimes when people are saying that they lament how people are leaving the church, it's because we're not operating in that. We're not operating in the power. You know, they're searching. People are searching. You know, right? If they're not finding the answers here, which God has all the answers, our faith has the answers, if we don't believe that, if we don't see that, if we don't encounter that, and guess what? They're going to find that elsewhere. And that's why you got people going into things that they shouldn't, and then they leave the faith. Because they see, oh, they see something going on there, which they don't realize. Participation in anything occult leads them away from the Lord. And while it produces a short-term bonus, it leads to the perdition of their souls. It's not good. And of course, there's always a price to pay, not by our Lord, but by the enemy, right? You know, when we subscribe to those things that are an abomination to the sight of the Lord and say, oh, look, this is giving me good luck, you know, with crystals and Reiki, you know, or good healing. You know, okay, that might come. We're not denying that. But we are saying, though, that, you know, that always comes at a price, you know, because the enemy, in doing these things for us, we'll always look for something back in return. But if we operate more in the power that our Lord Jesus has given us with the Holy Spirit, then we realize that in fact, we have His love, His mercy, His grace here all along. But we just don't understand it fully. We just haven't practiced that yet or operated in that yet. And so, that's something that you and I must seek with the Lord. I'll give you one more story, and this is also from Patrick Rice. He spoke a little bit about the gifts of prophecy. And sometimes when we think of prophecy, we think, again, that's something that will be like in the future or something, in 2 years, in 5 years, in a day and a half, you know, this is what's going to happen. And really what, you know, prophets were those who hear the voice of the Lord. And so he was operating in this. He was at a movie theater. He was going to watch something by Marvel Studios. I forget which one, but he was there with family, and he's praying to the Lord, Jesus, you know, is there anything that you want me to do here? Is there anyone that you want me to speak to? You know, Lord, guide my heart. And all of a sudden, he had the sense that there was someone who had an issue with an ankle. And then he felt moved to look to behind him. And at that moment, there was a woman who was coming in with three children. And he felt that the Lord was saying, okay, it's that woman. So they watched the movie. And, you know, those who are familiar with watching Marvel movies, there's always something at the end after the credits, right? So you don't want to leave during the credits. You want to wait and watch what's there. And so he was looking forward to that. Well, during the credits, she got up along with her children. They started walking out. And so he's, okay, you know, he's just like, okay, I gotta go, right? I gotta leave this, you know. And which is kind of like a mini homily, right? To say, like, are we willing to listen to the Lord, right? Or are gonna do what we wanna do. So he listens to the Lord, and right? He goes out, goes after the woman, walks out after the woman. And he says, wasn't that a great movie? She said, yeah, it was. You know, what was your favorite part? And she says, you know, I'm tired right now, and I just want to go home. What's wrong with your ankle? And she says, how do you know there's something wrong with my ankle? And he said, because the Lord told me. And she said, you hear God? And he said, yes. So she's like, oh, I gotta talk to you. So they go off in a corner there in the movie theater, and she explains to him how she's had these dreams for a few nights now of this beautiful woman with black, long, flowing hair that she's following, that she's walking behind. And every time in those dreams, this woman turns around and said, "You need to be following Yeshua." And so she told Patrick that and said, I don't know who Yeshua is. You know, I've tried looking that online, I tried Googling it, you know, I can't find anything. Can you tell me what the dream means? You see, I'm a Muslim, and I'm trying to understand what this all means. And so Patrick explains, well, the woman that you were following is probably Mary, you know, and they love Mary, right? And he says, Yeshua is actually Hebrew for Jesus. And then he goes on and explains a little bit of salvation history. And, you know, he also addresses the ankle too, and that gets healed in the name of Jesus. And, you know, long story short, she, her daughters, entered RCIA and became Catholic. You know. And that would have never happened if he wasn't listening for the voice of the Lord and following the prompts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's something that is not just a story or a witness that we think, oh, that's great that that happened to someone here in Michigan. You're supposed to have your own stories. God wants you to operate in power with the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing for us is like to ask for those things. The second then is we got to try them out. You know, when we ask for them, you know, it's might not be apparent that, you know, something different has changed or something has happened, but we need to try them out anyways. Try these gifts. And there's a great opportunity, like you're thinking, how am I going to try that? I don't even know about trying that out with family. I don't even know trying out with friends. You know, come and join us here at St. Mary Mystical Rose, you know, at 6:30 Monday nights. You know, we're meeting every Monday until April 4th. While the purpose of the meeting, the primary purpose of the meeting is to get to know the Holy Spirit and listen to videos and talks and grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know, afterwards there's this impromptu time that you can stay. You're just free to go if you want. You can stay and then pray, you know, and press in on that. You know, if that's something especially that, you know, the Lord, you feel is like tugging at your heart and saying, this is what I want for you. I want you to walk in the supernatural. I want you to, you know, experience my grace and to that to flow through you. You know, then that's something that we have to try, you know, and not to be afraid that we're going to fail. Because spoiler alert, we're going to fail. You know, and because it's just like even with earthly things, you know, as we learn to ride a bike, you know, what did your parents do? They just give you the two wheels and said good luck, and then you rode off to the distance. You know, you had four wheels, right? You know, and even that you kind of stumbled and you got tired and you weren't sure how to go. And then once they removed the training wheels, then you fell a couple times. And, you know, so it takes a little bit of trial and error, but then eventually you get to the skill and you're more familiar with it. And that's the same when, you know, utilizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know. So we have to acknowledge that. And because sometimes when people, right, they're operating from a level of excitement, you know, and they don't know what to encounter. And then, you know, sometimes they experience failure and then they think, because there's failure, you know, I shouldn't try anymore. I shouldn't do anything anymore. You know, in talking about, you know, healing, you know, at the Encounter Conference, you know, I forgot if I shared this with you 2 weeks ago. At the Encounter Conference, you know, people there, you know, we had a healing service, you know, where we had about 3,000 adults in the healing service. And you had about at least those who decided to come forward and let themselves know that they've experienced healing. Had about 100 people or so. Had about 100 people, you know. When we're talking about degenerative eye disease, we're talking about was in a wheelchair and a cane, but now was free to walk up the steps. If we never try, guess what? It's not going to happen. But if we try, who knows how God will operate and make his power known. You know, and I think, you know, you think about it. If you try 10 times and it only seems to take, right? Like I said, there's a number of reasons why, but it only seems to help only one individual. Is that worth it? You know, if you see someone that's on crutches and they're able to walk without them, you know, but that was the 10th one, you know, and the other ones, nothing happened. Was that worth it? You know? And I would say it is, right? It's a great deal worth it, you know, to see that and to witness that and to realize that that's what our Lord is inviting us to. So if we know that, you know, the Holy Spirit is operating in us, has power, then we seek him out. You know, it's going to require us to step out in faith and try it out. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts to us as he wills, but we have to step out in faith in order to receive.